Scattered Cells, Episode 8. So, this is Michael Huang, and here are my co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Raymond Hugh. Nice to meet you, Jessica.
Hi, this is Jeremy from Los Angeles. Yoroshiku.
And I am now going to stop my public radio impersonation right now, so okay.
I wonder if you sound a little cheesy.
Yeah, that was my Ira Glass impersonation. Ira Glass is the host of This American Life, and he has this, at least in the earlier episodes, he kind of stopped doing this. He has this really kind of hushed, clipped, almost Captain Kirk kind of thing.
Isn't that the same voice you use at our club when you do announcements?
No, not really. Not consciously. I was doing an impersonation there, so.
Okay. Just anyway, checking, because it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, I may have done it for humor once or twice before. I have
no idea. Sure.
Anyways, first and foremost, we'd like to thank all the readers, the new readers who have come in from the website.
Yay!
We especially would like to thank Hang Truong, the owner of Anime Nano and the Anime Nano podcast for first being an inspiration for this podcast and also finally adding me to AnimeNano.com and thus getting us lots more comments than before.
So wow.
Kudos to you, Hang, and thank you. And for everybody who's reading, thank you very much for commenting and leave some more comments, and we will be starting a mailbag feature as soon as you leave some stuff for this podcast.
Yeah.
We want your questions, your comments, and actually, quite possibly, your flames, too. We'll read
yes, please.
On
please.
And the two single guys in the group want phone numbers if you're hot girls.
That's right. He's got the right to say it.
We cool. don't want to be those people who are hugging body pillows. But at the same time, you don't know about the otaku out there.
Well, I don't mind. I'm just kidding.
What do you mean the otaku out there? You mean otaku in here?
Yeah, but that makes it three of us, though. That's not just two.
I've embraced my inner otaku.
Yes. And he has a wife who can more than put up with it. So he's very, very lucky.
You are a very lucky person, Jeremy. You're a very lucky man.
Yes, I am. Mm. I don't know if my wife is, but I am.
I want to actually go and also publicly thank Heather for all her efforts in our club, Anime Souffle, if she ever listens to this. So thank you very much.
She's part of the glue, for sure.
So we're going to go ahead and just cover a few news items. There was actually quite a lot of news this week, and we can't even get to all the ones that I really wanted to cover. But in interest of time, we'd like to just cover the most important ones, especially the ones that are really rant-worthy from all three of us. So, without further ado, let's get ahead with the news. All right, Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and start talking about a show that you were the one who actually introduced it to me.
Oh, yes. I'm assuming by that you must be meaning Karin.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Now, from what I've seen, it looks like they are going to use, I could be wrong on this, the English name that they've used for the manga here. Chibi
I don't
Vampire,
believe so.
Are they?
Actually, I don't believe so.
Oh, that's good. That's good news, because I really hated that. I didn't feel that that was a very fitting title, to be perfectly honest. Because it is all about Karin. For those of you that don't know, the story is about, I think it's one of the most unique comedy stories I've seen in a while, actually. It's about a reverse vampire who not only loves the daylight, loves garlic, loves water, all those good things. She doesn't exactly suck blood, she produces too much of it. So,
is she Italian? She loves garlic. Is she Chinese?
The last name of the family is Maka, which I'm assuming is a...
If I recall correctly, it's actually a Japanese-ization of marker.
Exactly.
Because they're actually from Europe. The family's from Europe.
Right, they are from Europe. Yeah. Her family is actually running away from a group of vampire hunters that are after them.
Mm.
Not to give away too much, but actually, it's a really fun series. Basically, there's kind of a romantic side of it slash. You know, how does she deal with relationships with humans, being herself a vampire, even though she doesn't have the really restrictive bits of being out, not being being to be out in the day. She really is thrown a loop in her world when a character named Kinta comes to her class. And for some reason starts to cause her to produce even more blood more often.
In the form of nosebleeds. Really, really big nosebleeds.
That turn into rose petals. Strangely enough. It's a really fun series. I this has been one of the best comedy series I've seen in a while. I think my favorite character in it is a character, though... not so much that I really like his character. I just think he's really funny. Actually, as a character, he's a little bit irritating, but as a character named Winner Sinclair, pronounced Wina Sinclair.
Or Wiener.
So, yeah.
Wiener. Wiener.
Yes. Who is from Europe as well. And
Germany.
Well, he speaks in English, Japanese English, quite often. And his favorite catchphrase is, "Oh my God!" when he gets upset. So it's lots of fun. Lots of fun. There's lots of delightful characters in it, actually. The entire family, the Maka family, has several interesting characters, from her stoic, womanizing brother to her gothic Lolita little sister, her kindly slash whooped father, her slightly overbearing mother. I could go on, but... I don't want to give too much away. Check it out. I mean, it's going to be good. I don't know about the English dub. I mean, myself, I tend to watch the subtitled. And I think the only thing that concerns me is with the English release, potentially losing some of his character and charm. I mean, you won't get to hear Wiener Kun in his Japanese English going, "Oh my God!" So, you know, right there. So, but check it out. It's a good show. I think the story itself is should hold it up at the very least.
I'm totally picture Mike being the whipped the father.
He is actually really funny.
So picturing it because you like Tsundere's. You're so gonna be whipped when you're married, dude.
We'll see.
We're so gonna laugh at you.
Confidence.
We're so laughing at you later.
Later on, there's actually an episode where the dad does all these ridiculously overprotective things to try to protect Karin. And I can actually see myself doing that too. But, like, he keeps trying to spy on her or something like that when she's going out with, what's that guy's name again? Kunta?
Usui.
Yeah.
Kun. Or yeah. Kinta.
Yeah, Kinta. Mm. Kinta, what's actually kind of interesting about Kinta, Kinta really looks like the, he looks like the guy from Bleach, first of all, the protagonist
looks
of
like
Bleach.
Ichigo, yeah.
He also really looks like the main character of, it's the one about the, Midori Days, that's the one, or, Midori no Hibi, really looks like him. Yeah.
Right.
It's got the spiky hair and
he has really creepy eyes, and they make a good gag about that, about how creepy his eyes are.
Yeah, his eyes are always completely open.
Yeah, everybody gets really creeped out by his eyes.
As opposed to completely closed, like some characters, like Brock from Pokemon.
Yeah. Exactly. It's totally opposite of that, and he doesn't have, even though he has big eyes, he doesn't have the typical anime eyes. He has little tiny pupils. Looks like he's maybe really stoned or something. I don't know. Maybe in the series he's actually really heavy pot smoker or something.
Yeah. Well, there are Europeans. Maybe he has friends from Netherlands.
Well, he's Japanese. It's Karin's family that's European, yeah. He's deaf.
Well, come on. Usui-kun, Kinta, you know. Yeah. Now, okay. Winner, I don't understand why they get the name Winner. That is so hilarious to me. Just like, Winner Sinclair.
Anyway, all right, next news item. This is about Neon Genesis Evangelion, or if it were pronounced correctly in Greek, Neon Genesis Evangelion. But basically, Mr. Hideaki Anno, my first anime director liking, he has decided to redo the entire Evangelion series as a series of three feature-length movies. And this week, he announced that he is going to be releasing the first one on September 1st. It's going to cover, roughly, the events of television episodes 1 through 6.
Mm.
And not only that, apparently, in the Japanese katakana that spelled out Evangelion, they've changed some of it. So it's actually technically pronounced differently in Japanese than it once was. Mm-hmm. It's now pronounced Weevangeliwan, which is
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I have no idea why they're doing that. Neither the original pronunciation or the new one is actually anywhere quite close to the Greek one. But anyway, that's enough showing off of my very small smattering of Greek that I learned, and so
yay.
Wow, I'm just wondering how much of the series is going to be Shinji whining and crying.
See, that's what I'm really interested to find out. When Anno wrote the original series more than 10 years ago, he was actually literally clinically depressed. He was on antidepressants, and he was seeing a counselor, and he was reading psychology textbooks. That has a lot to do with the way the series eventually turned out. He is now very well adjusted and happily married. I want to see what kind of effect that has on the way he writes and the way he approaches things.
It's going to turn into Benji Come Home, you know? A happy tale of a boy and his robot mecha that happens to be an angel that...
I've actually heard he is going to cut out some of the more... or he's going to tone down some of the more distinctive features that were in the original Evangelion.
Oh,
things like,
man,
flashing text... for instance, psychodrama episodes, and a general lack of clarity in the storyline. I almost get the feeling that he's revisiting this primarily to... almost sounds like he's correcting or he's wanting to revise some of the things that he originally did. Like, he either feels that he could do better, or he just simply feels that some of it was just a reflection of where he was at that time and it no longer shows where he is. I mean, the last project that he did was a remake of Cutie Honey, which...
right.
Is not at all serious and is really light and peppy and fun. So,
man, I'm telling you, it's going to be Evangelion, the girlfriend of steel.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you can. I don't know, but I don't know if you can go back and do that. That just is, to me, is reminiscent of Star Wars episodes. You know, having the remix versions of the original Star Wars episodes. I don't think you can. And go back and change it. You have to take it for what it is. I mean, that's what it was. So, I mean, and, you know, there were things that, of course, weren't good about it, but there were also things that were good about it.
And one of the things that was good about it, that I felt was really good about it, was how raw and how incredibly, you know, just unvarnished and rough and completely insane it was. It was just really daring. I don't think there hadn't been any anime that had really done anything like that before, and it really brought a new level of emotional, you know, just, well, scarring for one thing, and emotional realism to a genre that generally didn't have that in the past. I think after Eva came out, there were a lot of shows that tried to emulate that sort of thing, and also lots of shows that tried to be really artsy fartsy and do all kinds of weird things. Like, I mean, the best example being Serial Experiments Lane. By best, I mean that it does it well. It does it really well, and it does in a way that justifies its style.
Yeah.
Razafan's another show that does something similar, and it's more polished and a little bit more balanced than Evangelion. A bad example might be Yoshiyuki Tomino's answer to Evangelion, Brainpowered. Yeah. Which, despite the soundtrack by Yoko Kanno, that was not enough to save the fact that it was a terrible story with bad animation, and it just didn't hold together at all.
Yeah. Perhaps that should be our next Mystery Science Theater.
That would be a great idea. That would be a very interesting idea. Because,
you know, we're asking people to leave some ideas for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about an anime you really want us to rip to shreds, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, just rip a new one.
Yeah.
Just give us your list.
Please.
Especially ones that you really think are really overrated. Those are probably the best ones to do. The ones that a lot of people think are really good, but they really aren't.
Yeah, and don't give us something simple like Dragon Ball Z. Come on. That's just too easy. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Give us a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In either case, past week, apparently, there was a 15-second trailer that was actually released for this new Evangelion movie. Unfortunately, there is no actual footage. It's just text and just a little bit of classical music in the background. So
it's not really a trailer.
Yeah, it's not really a trailer. There are posters that have been put up around 50 movie theaters around Japan in the otaku heavy areas. And so far, apparently since 1995, Evangelion has generated 6,000 types of merchandise, earning roughly 150 billion yen, which is roughly equivalent to $1 billion. And so this is a cow that Gainax cannot stop milking. Probably the latest example, which I posted about recently this week, was the drinks, the Evangelion branded drinks that just came out. One of them is just canned coffee, and it's black label. But probably the weirdest one is the LCL labeled orange juice.
Ew.
Now, if you all know what LCL actually is, you're probably recoiling now and thinking, what the heck were the marketers thinking? I have no idea. It just gave rise to a whole bunch of funny slogans that just immediately came to mind. 100% fresh squeezed Lilith juice. You know, it's just...
LCL, quench your thirst for the wench!
LCL is thirsted for your deep down angel thirst. I don't know. I mean,
yes.
Don't watch Shinji. Be Shinji.
Yeah. And so I have no idea what more products they're going to start coming up with, especially with the re-release of these movies. I'm sure there's going to be even more. I mean, this is Japan. This is the land that can come up with a product for just about anything. So
if I pilot cockpit condoms.
We have no idea what comes next from Japan. We have
being in a big mecha, not enough protection for you?
Given how Freudian the original Evangelion series was to begin with.
There's a right-sized tree of life for everyone.
I mean, it's... And the Freudianism was is deliberate, too. Like, it was actually, like, deliberately put on there. Like,
stud-sized and ribbed for the pleasure of horny Misatos in your life. Yeah. I'll stop, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we could go down a road there to which there's no coming back.
Don't force me to put the explicit tag on this episode. Alright. Okay, why don't we go ahead and move on to our final news item. And Ray, why don't you talk about that?
Okay, well, To Heart is one of those first dating scene anime that came out in 1999, as I think most people knew. I guess unless you're an absolute hardcore mecha fan or a shonen fan or a shoujo fan, I guess you probably then. Other than that, I think that a lot of people have watched it. Basically, it goes like this: you have this main guy, and he's worthless. He's like almost worthless. He doesn't do anything. He sleeps in class, and after school he goes home, and he really doesn't seem like he does anything at all. He's just absolutely bored with school life. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he does. And you know what? It just so happens that he has this great and wonderful childhood friend who just loves him and wants to be with him and spend time with him. And she said, oh, you know, let's do this after school. Oh, I've got club now, but let's hang out later. Oh, I got this concert ticket. You know, like, she does this all that. And, you know, her name is Akari. It's played by Kawasumi Ayako. You know, I say Japanese last name first. And basically what happens is that, when I first watched it, I was like, oh god, poor Akari. You know, she's so nice and so kind, and she's writing her little diary going, oh, you know, I get to spend time with him, it's so nice, I really like him, I wonder if our relationship is gonna grow. And he's just like completely he's oblivious. He's absolutely oblivious. He doesn't particularly say anything nice or. And the only reason they got together is because when they were kids, like, she dropped her notebook or something and people were laughing at her, and he helped her up. And so from that point on, she just called her by a little nickname, and he hates it, but what the hell. And you know the best thing that he ever does, at least for himself, is that he just helps out all these girls. He just happened to be there, and he sees these girls and helps them, and he meets all of them. And Akari just always watching, you know, and he gets her to participate, all right? He helps this girl, and this girl runs a magic club, and takes her. So he takes Akari to the magic club. I mean, one big thing about this, like as Mike might have mentioned, that it just doesn't have much of a plot. It's like a school show. You know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good watching it. You know, I guess especially your man. It's just a nice little touching show. You know, like, and of course at the end, you know what happens. You should know what happens. It's not like some other stuff, but you know, it's nice and plain. And the reason we loved it is because it's got good music. It's well done. It's very well drawn. It's got this nostalgic feeling that it really goes to the heart. Sorry for that pun, but you know. And I should mention that the DVD will come out at March 27th, 2006, by Right Stuff. And I guess I don't know. And I guess for the voice cast, I don't know anybody about the English dub voice cast except maybe Veronica Taylor, who was in Gundam Wing as
so Lisa Oris, I think.
Right. As Relina Peacecraft, I believe. I don't know. I don't care. It's more like Japanese voice that I care. You know, Ayako-san she's Lafio in Voice of This, in Banner of the Stars, and she's Mahoro, and she's Aoi. You know, she played a lot of those nice girl characters, but recently her role's been changed a little. She plays this like stoic and emotionless girl a lot.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Interesting. She's like the replacement or the new version of Kikuko Inoue, I think.
No, not quite. Their voices are completely different. Hmm. Kikuko-sama sounds like a older, nice sister person, mm-hmm. and she's always a nice sister, whereas Ayako-san was described as like a girl next door.
I see.
Basically. Interesting. And Kikuko has a much better range. Like, she can play this really nasty and mean, evil person. Mm. But everybody remembers she has the nicest sister, elder sister person you'll ever have. Whereas Ayako tend to get to play those emotionless people as opposed to, like, her normal really nice, cute next-door girl thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like in Kyoshio, she plays Khan. And then in Kanazuki no Miko, she plays Chikane.
I haven't seen that show myself, so.
Kanazuki no Miko?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Yeah.
You watch it, you'll like that better than Kyoshio.
You said it's by the same person, right? The same manga artist.
The same character design or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at Khan. I look at Khan and I say, why is Chikane in this show? Oh, never mind. You know, you have Chikane and you have Himiko.
Mm, I see. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, with Two Heart, I actually watched Two Heart for the first time quite a long time ago, relatively early in my fandom, roughly around the year 2000 or 2001. I remember I really liked the theme song for some interesting or odd reason. I can't even remember why exactly. I kept playing the video file over and over and over again just to listen to the theme song. And so I actually heard the theme song again for the first time in many years now, like when I visited the English website that just opened. And yeah, it made me feel really nostalgic. It's definitely a show that kind of trades in nostalgia. It's like Ray said, it doesn't have a lot of plot or conflict or a lot of just stuff that goes on. A lot of it is just like daily life in school. I remember, I think in the first episode, they devote something like 5 minutes to just simply a sequence where they're just changing their seats. And
oh, that's right.
And I think yeah, Akari is like secretly hoping that her would-be boyfriend would sit next to her. I think was that it?
Yeah. Basically. I don't remember if they had a draw. It seems like Japanese sometimes have a system where you can draw numbers. That's right, you can draw numbers.
I remember it was a random drawing, actually. I remember that. And yeah.
It's a random drawing of numbers, is what I meant. Yeah. Like, you have a box, and then, like, you know, the class rep.
Yeah.
And she puts his stuff in, and nobody was going to help her. Oh, that's right. And the main guy went and helped the class rep, too, who's the glasses girl, Meganeko.
Meganeko. And. You know, Akari does not have a single jealous bone in her body, does she?
It's an impossibility. Okay, she's like, you know, in the continuation of too hard to remember my memories. Okay, then she said, all right, you just like Moti too much.
and it has to be the non-human robot girl. That's the object of her jealousy. That's incredibly funny.
or it's because she's incredibly popular. It's played by Horie Yui. Moti is played by Horie Yui, and I like her too. I like her a lot. I got multi statuettes. So
there's this really funny little snippet in a little feature called AMV Hell, which is like a bunch of little short little clips of anime music videos with like satirical or parody kind of themes. It's basically showing, like, I think it's the Mortal Kombat theme song, and Multi is like using her broom to go around, like basically like running into people, and you see all this broom flying everywhere, and then at the end you see her smiling, you know, with her really cute, like, Multi kill. And
Multi kill. It was great. They definitely need to put Akari in there when she like writes her diaries, but she stands there too much too, you know. She doesn't really do that much, like. Okay, she's there more often, sure. But that's the only thing that makes her the main character sometimes, I believe.
Yeah, she's kind of the observer character. She's like, things are nominally told from her point of view. But yeah, I guess, I mean, in terms of storytelling, I guess the weakness is sort of that most of the characters, including the main characters, tend to be kind of passive. Like, they don't really do very much. They just let things happen to them. And
yeah,
depending on whether you know, it depends, I guess, on what you want to watch it for. I guess if you're looking for things like conflict and lots of like big emotions, this may not be the show for you. But if you want something where, you know, a relatively realistic depiction of school, well, minus like robot girls and stuff like that.
yeah, realistic, all right.
I mean,
oh my God. Yeah.
I don't know of any other show that spends like 5 minutes just talking about changing seats. I mean, I don't know whether you call that realistic or not, but I have no idea.
Dude, just look at the description for the first episode. Mm-hmm. For as long as Akari can remember, she and Hiroyuki have always been friends. But with time, everything changes, and her feelings have turned into something more. Oh, dear. Like, will the two childhood friends come together or drift further apart? Anyway, because like one last thing I want to say is that the promotional website's music sounds really like mono, like 23-bit or something. It just sounds really awful.
I think it's because it's encoded in Flash, and they're doing that to save bandwidth.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, that's that pretty much does it for Too Hard. Do you want to add anything or?
Well, I guess the only thing is that if you can bear like reading words or subtitles, please listen to a Japanese cast. I mean, if you listen to Ayako-san's character and don't love this character, don't just throw your DVD out. I don't know.
I agree, as a very devoted hardcore sub fan. And with that, that pretty much does it for this item. Thanks.
Yes.
So, Mike, you said that Too Hard would be our last news item, but you forgot. There's a really important news item that I wanted to put out there for this week. That would be the end of the Naruto filler. Yes, that's right. This week, on Valentine's Day, no less, Naruto Hurricane Chronicles... came out. basically ending the Naruto filler that many people complain about, which went on for, a year and 8 months, approximately. So it's been a long time coming. I was really excited to hear that happened. Pretty much as soon as the fan sub was available, I downloaded it. Hadn't been reading the manga, so, you know, have a particularly interesting take, because I know a lot of people keep up with the manga and they're comparing it with how the manga is going and the way that it jumps really ahead for the first part in order to hook the audience and then goes into the story of when Naruto comes back from his training. You know, I think the initial hook was good. I think it's kind of a good idea, except the fact that when it goes back into when Naruto comes back, they still have some elements that are very comedic, and I think that's part of the series, and they should do that. But I think for many people coming back to the series, if they were like me that just basically completely stopped watching the series because of the filler, myself, I was ready to see, you know, bang ahead, go right into the action stuff, you know, start getting good again. So this first episode was a little slow, in my opinion, but it's probably necessary to establish and probably somewhat decently close to the manga of Naruto getting back into his routine at the at Konohana Village. So, I mean, it was good. It was definitely better than the filler that had taken place. It was definitely not the Naruto cooking episode, that infamous episode that upset a lot of people, including me. But, you know, I think the series has, in my opinion, a ways to go to really start redeeming itself again. The first part of the series really seemed interesting with a hook, and was really one of the only parts I really enjoyed. So, it did reintroduce Sasuke, not to give too much away, but I think we kind of saw that coming. So yeah, that's pretty much everything about this new upcoming arc so far. We'll see how it goes, and I'll keep our audience up to date. But that's my take on it.
I see. I'm not really all that familiar with Naruto. It's something that I actually I've only seen like maybe 17 episodes or something like that. And right. So I'm not terribly familiar with it, and I apparently didn't get to the really bad parts yet, so.
Right.
So what happened? Did they, like, run into the fact that they had run out of manga to adapt, and so they had to make up stuff on their own?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. From my understanding is that the series caught up with where the manga was, and basically they needed some time to finish the manga story first before they started the new arc. Mm-hmm. So basically, they hired scriptwriters that, as far as I know, weren't even involved with the original project to write stories to fill in, and not all of it was bad. There was some good stuff in there. I think the first couple episodes of the filler were pretty good, but anything after that, you see like a it progressively getting worse. I think. And there were some interesting parts of this, but when you first start to see it taking a downhill turn is when they start to Naruto and some of his fellow ninja trainees go to look for this rare bug that's able to basically perform like a super intensified bloodhound to track someone down. you know, there were some good parts of that. But that whole premise really, obviously, was not very good. I mean, in my opinion. It really becomes clear that they're going off the deep end with the episode. And I think it was pretty much rated the worst episode. I think there was a Mystery Science Theater actually done to this. An episode where a character named Lee and his teacher Guy Sensei leave town. And basically two bumbling characters come into town trying to pretend to be Lee and Guy Sensei. And it's you know, apparently very obvious that it's not them, and it's really kind of a, I don't know, a Three Stooges sort of thing. So that's when it really, really becomes very apparent.
Hmm.
But after about, like I said, a year and 8 months of that, which is a really long time, obviously, they have finally started to get back up. And we'll see what happens. See if they can regain some of those lost fans, because personally, I just stopped watching it altogether.
That's a common dilemma or problem with a lot of, especially longer running anime, is that they run out of manga material to adapt. And I believe Ray told me that they were having the same problem with D. Greyman, which is a relatively recent series, and they've already run into the filler issue. And they definitely also, something like that sort of happened with Full Metal Alchemist as well, except that they did try to come up with a storyline with the guidance of the original manga artist, even when she wasn't finished writing the whole story yet. So at least that, I think that at least worked out relatively well, in my opinion. But yeah, usually it's not good news when the anime writers try to come up with something on their own. It really sunk Rurouni Kenshin, for instance. And so I can totally understand why the filler problem would be a serious issue.
Well, you know, Naruto was always kind of skating the edge there anyways. A lot of critics would say that it was very Dragon Ball Z-esque. And I mean, some people really love Dragon Ball Z. I mean, we kind of, you know, bashed on it a little bit earlier, but and it does have its merit too. I mean, I can see it had a pretty big following. I'm not really particularly a big fan of it, but there was, some critics would say there was some Dragon Ball Z type elements, really drawn out fight scenes for like several episodes in Naruto, and some of the comedic elements. Actually, my wife, when I was watching Naruto, I was a little further into it, and she had become, actually, she hadn't really been in anime when she first met me. She had become into Full Metal Alchemist, and that was the first anime she started watching. She really liked that. That kind of got her into anime. But as far as Naruto, I remember her being quoted as saying, I just can't get Naruto. It's just that Naruto character is just too irritating. And it turns out as she got into the series later, she really started enjoying it. But yeah, there are definitely some criticisms so, in general of Naruto. So it's kind of skating a fine line. So when the filler episodes came in, you know, that for some people really hit it a pretty heavy blow. So we'll see. Maybe they can regain some of those fans back. I mean, I'm just, I'm walking kind of lightly and seeing if it doesn't pick up, you know, who knows. But I really would like to see the original story come back, because I think the original actual story is pretty good. But just depends on how they handle it.
It's probably the most popular anime out there right now, actually.
I mean,
half the cosplayers I saw at Anime Expo were Naruto or Naruto cosplayers.
It's very true, and you know, I don't know if I could say that, but a lot of the audience here in the States, of course, are only familiar with, you know, what's been released actually here. So especially the kids, you know, that see it on TV, and so. And maybe they won't be caring so much about the filler stuff. It'll be kind of all the same to them. But
all right. Yeah. All right. Okay. And that's all the time we have for today for Scattered Cells Anime Podcast episode number 8. I'm your host, Michael Hong.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei.
So this is Jeremy in Los Angeles signing out.
And we will all see you next time. Please leave us your comments, emails, flames, whatever you want on the blog for this post. And we would like to get back to you on the air if possible as soon as we can. All thanks right. A lot, guys.
All right, see ya. See ya.